God is in his holy dwelling place. The God who causes us to dwell together, one at heart in his house, he himself will give power and strength to his people. Let God arise, let his foes be scattered.
Let those who hate him flee from his presence.
As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. Like wax that melts before the fire,
so the wicked shall perish at the presence of God.
But the just shall rejoice at the presence of God.
They shall exult with glad rejoicing.
Oh, sing to God, make music to his name, extol the one who rides on the clouds.
The Lord is his name, exalt at his presence.
God is in his holy dwelling place. The God who causes us to dwell together, one at heart in his house, he himself will give power and strength to his people. Glory be to the Father and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
world without end. Amen.
Oh my. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask the Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Christe eleison.
Christe eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie eleison.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, heavenly King. O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy. Bestow in abundance your mercy upon us, and grant that with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that endure forever. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the second book of Kings. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing to Elijah, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the firstfruits, and fresh grains in the ear. Elijah said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elijah insisted, "Give it to the people to eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body and one spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
great prophet has risen in our midst. God has visited his people.
Be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. We begin today a 5-week series on John chapter 6. This is the beginning of the 6th chapter of the Gospel of John. And we'll read essentially consecutively for the next 5 weeks. Now, anybody who has studied a little bit of theology or a little bit of formal catechesis has little lights that go off in their mind when we say John chapter 6, because this sort of forms the heart of the church's Eucharistic theology. This is the strongest, the clearest, the most complete statement of what the Eucharist is and what the church's understanding of the Eucharist is in the whole of Scriptures. It's also, by the way, the best scriptural refutation of the claim that the Eucharist was meant only as a symbol, and that at the Last Supper, Jesus didn't really intend to give us his flesh to eat. So anybody who's been through, you know, a good youth group or some strong catechetical training, or certainly studied any theology, has sort of bells and whistles go off when they hear the phrase John 6. Now, I said to Father Steve this morning, before Mass in the sacristy, I said, you know, it's too bad that we didn't set the schedule so that we have the same Masses for the next 5 weeks, so that we could develop a series. Lo and behold, I looked at the schedule, and it just so happens that I have this Mass 4 of those 5 weeks. So, what I would like to do today is give a homily that is not in and of itself very complete, but with that in mind, that we're going to be looking at these scriptures together for about the next month. And so I want to kind of set a context, maybe make a rough sketch, that we're going to have time, you know, if you're a regular here at this Mass, that we're going to have time to flesh out in the future. So forgive me if my thoughts today are not totally finished or polished. They never are, but if they're less finished or polished than usual. So The first thing that I want to note is even when we are very familiar with John chapter 6, because John 6 is code word, like I said, for Eucharistic theology, it's easy for us to overlook how John chapter 6 begins. And how it begins is with this miraculous feeding of 5,000 people. And I think this kind of establishes a really important point as we begin to study what the Lord has to say about the sacrament of his body and blood, which is simply this: the Eucharist is food. It's not for nothing. It's definitely not just a coincidence that immediately before Jesus begins to talk to us about the food that sustains us into eternal life, he feeds us with regular old food that will sustain us into tomorrow. Right? He shows himself to be one who has the power of producing nourishment to provide for the people. And I would argue that what's even more than that, by performing the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, he is setting our imaginations in a bigger historical context. He's essentially taking us back to the time when Israel was in the desert, and he fed them, and the Lord fed them every day with bread from heaven. Okay? So this is the context I want to develop a little bit today, and it takes a lot of time, so I'm grateful to be able to do it. So the Israelites, when we think about their time in the desert, and I think we're all at least vaguely familiar with the fact that they wandered around the desert for 40 years, but just let's remind ourselves how they got there and what it is they're doing there. So they have been led out of slavery. And when Exodus begins, the Israelites as a nation are in slavery in Egypt. And it's also important to remember that at this point in time, when the sort of curtain lifts and we find the Israelites under hard labor, making bricks without hay and all that, they certainly were God's holy people because they were the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, the religion of Israel was not very well established. So I don't know that we could say that the people that we find in slavery know God very well. So God hears his people's cry, he sees their misery, and he wants to deliver them, but he also has a bigger plan, right? He wants to make this people that he's already chosen, make them a nation sacred to himself, and he wants to establish in them the place where his glory will dwell. And through them, he wants to teach humanity what it means to be a people of God, what it means to live according to God's law. And then ultimately, through this people, is going to come the Savior of the entire world. So the Lord has to start somewhere. And so he initiates this whole relationship by taking them out of slavery in Egypt. And what's his plan? His plan is to take them into the promised land. Right, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the temple is going to be established and where he himself will dwell with his people and where his people will offer right worship. But there's a little bit of a hiccup because the people are unfaithful and so they need to be punished. And so part of the reason they end up wandering around the desert for 40 years is they're not entirely faithful. But of course, God's plans are bigger than ours, and he can see much further than we can. So in addition to there being a sort of a chastisement and the fact that people don't get to immediately go into the promised land, the time in the desert becomes a time where the Israelites learn what it means to be God's people. Think about the things that happen in the desert, right? Many, many of our Old Testament scriptures take place out in the desert. It's out in the desert that we receive the Ten Commandments. It's out in the desert that the people receive God's law. It's out in the desert that he teaches them, this is how I want you to worship me. It's out in the desert that they first receive instructions on how to build sort of essentially a moving temple, right? The meeting tent that they construct and move along with them is a small image of what the great temple where God is going to dwell and worship. All of that happens out in the desert. So, to review, the Israelites had started off in slavery in Egypt, and God said, nope, I want you to be my people, and I'll be your God, and I'm going to lead you out of this slavery. And ultimately, he wants to lead them to a promised land where he will dwell with them forever and ever, and they will worship and live as his people. But in between those two realities is the desert.
Now, I firmly believe, you know, I'm not the Pope, but I've read some books, and I really think this. I think that on an allegorical level, this little journey of the Israelites is a wonderful parallel for the Christian life. Right? Because we come into this world in slavery to the flesh. We come into this world in slavery to the sin of our first parents. We are destined for the heavenly Jerusalem. Right? We are destined to be taken into that promised land, that paradise, where God's glory dwells and where we behold him face to face and where we worship him forever. And we are destined for an eternal existence in which we're totally rightly ordered towards the love and service of our Creator. That in-between time is where we live most of our lives, those of us who are baptized, at least as infants. Because by virtue of the fact that we're baptized, we're members of the body of Christ, we are called to live the spiritual life, the life of Christ. So we're not slaves anymore, right? We're not in Egypt anymore. We are a member of God's people. We are fed by God. We are given a share, even now in the spiritual life. We're given foretaste of the things to come. But nobody could really claim that we're in heaven now. No sane person can claim that we're in heaven now, right? That's just, so we're very much in the desert. We're very much in the desert. We're in that time in between. Now, all this comes back to saying, while the Jews wandered around the desert, they had to eat, because everything that lives has to eat. And God provided them every single day throughout their journey with bread from heaven. He provided their needs. He sustained them. He also did it in such a way that taught them to be consistently dependent on him. Right? He didn't allow them to set up little agricultural communities. They had to learn to rely on him day to day to day for his bread, for their bread. But one last little thought, and again, this is on the theme of rough sketches to be filled in later. Often the world that God has created for us is a good image of spiritual realities. So we look in the natural world, and we can see literally and figuratively that everything that lives needs to eat, right? A tree needs sun and water and nutritious soil to grow. Animals, including us, if we're going to survive, if we're going to live, if we're going to grow, if we're going to reproduce, we need food, we need sustenance, right? If you want to go on a long journey, you have to eat so you have the energy to go. If you don't eat, eventually you're going to sort of lose energy and kind of like lay down and die, right? That's a very literal, physical sense of food, but there's other ways we could look at it as well. You say a priest, to preach, he needs to feed himself on prayer and study, right? I often say, I'll tell my principal, I have to take time to read and pray every day, because otherwise I have nothing to preach and I have nothing to teach. I'm not that interesting, right? So if I stop giving myself fuel, then I am going to cease to live as a preacher. Fire, right? Fire needs fuel to burn. Once the fuel is burned up, the fire goes out. We could even get more figurative with it and say like artists or writers. They need to travel. They need to see beautiful things. They need to talk to interesting people, right? They need something that's going to feed their imagination so that they can create. Everything that lives needs to eat. Now, those of us who have been baptized, we are called to put off the old life that we were born into, to put off the old man, which is the life of the flesh. Now, we're going to talk more about what this means in coming weeks. But what we are called is to live the life of a spirit, the spirit, a different kind of life than just the natural one we are born into. But if we are going to have a spiritual life, then we need to be fed by spiritual food, or else we'll spiritually die. And the spiritual food that the Lord gives to sustain us in the spiritual life is his flesh.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With confidence in the God of miracles and blessings, we place before him our needs. For Pope Francis, may his example as a gentle shepherd inspire us, his flock, to share our blessings. We pray to the Lord. For world leaders, may God bless them in their efforts to eliminate the scourge of hunger from the earth. We pray to the Lord. For farmers, bakers, and all who provide the food for our tables, may they know our thanks and experience God's blessing. We pray to the Lord. For those in our community who will go to bed hungry today, may relief soon be theirs in abundance. We pray to the Lord. For those who have died, may they receive the promise of eternal life and rest in the peace of Christ. We pray to the Lord. Loving God, you provide us with all good things. Hear our prayer and help us to reflect your love by sharing what we have with others. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
My sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and the glory of his name, for our good and of all his holy church.
Accept, O Lord, we pray, the offerings which bring from the abundance of your gifts, which we bring from the abundance of your gifts, that through the powerful working of your grace, these most sacred mysteries may sanctify our present way of life and lead us to eternal gladness. Through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right to give you thanks. Truly just to give you glory, Father most holy, for you are the one God, living and true, existing before all ages, and abiding for all eternity, dwelling in unapproachable light. Yet you, who alone are good, the source of life, have made all that is, so that you might fill your creatures with blessings, and bring joy to many of them by the glory of your light. And so in your presence are countless hosts of angels who serve you day and night, and gazing upon the glory of your face, glorify you without ceasing. With them we too confess your name in exultation, giving voice to every creature under heaven as we acclaim. Praise, Father most holy, for you are great and you have fashioned all your works in wisdom and in love. You formed man in your own image and entrusted the whole world to his care. so that in serving you alone, the Creator, he might have dominion over all creatures. And when through disobedience he had lost your friendship, you did not abandon him to the domain of death, for you came in mercy to the aid of all, so those who seek might find you. Time and again you offered them covenants, and through the prophets taught them to look forward to salvation. And you so loved the world, Father most holy, that in the fullness of time you sent your only begotten Son to be our Savior. Made incarnate by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, he shared our human nature in all things but sin. To the poor he proclaimed the good news of salvation, to prisoners freedom, and to the sorrowful of heart joy. To accomplish your plan, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the dead, he destroyed death and restored life. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again for us, he sent the Holy Spirit from you, Father, as the first fruits for those who believe, so that bringing to perfection his work in the world, he might sanctify creation to the full. Therefore, O Lord, we pray, may this same Holy Spirit graciously sanctify these offerings, that they may become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the celebration of this great mystery which he himself left us as an eternal covenant. For when the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, Father most holy, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And while they were at supper, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when taking the chalice filled with the fruit of the vine, he gave thanks and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we now celebrate the memorial of our redemption, we remember Christ's death and his descent to the realm of the dead. We proclaim his resurrection and his ascension to your right hand, and as we await his coming in glory, we offer you his body and blood, the sacrifice acceptable to you, which brings salvation to the whole world. Look, O Lord, upon the sacrifice which you yourself have provided for your church, and grant in your loving kindness to all who partake of this one bread and one chalice, that gathered into one body by the Holy Spirit, they may truly become a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your glory. Therefore, Lord, remember now all for whom we offer the sacrifice, especially your servant Francis, our Pope, Thomas, our Bishop, Eduardo, his assistant, and the whole order of bishops, all the clergy, those who take part in this offering, those gathered here before you, your entire people, and all who seek you with a sincere heart. Remember also those who have died in the peace of your Christ and all the dead whose faith you alone have known. To all of us, your children, grant, O merciful Father, that we may enter into a heavenly inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, and with your apostles and saints in your kingdom. There, with the whole of creation, freed from the corruption of sin and death, may we glorify you through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
On you stay,
qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. On you stay, qui tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis. On you stay, qui tollis peccata mundi, dona nobis pacem.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed.
Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then shall your barns be filled with abundance, and your presses shall run over with wine.
Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then shall your barns be filled filled with abundance, and your presses shall run over with wine.
Blessed the man who fears the Lord,
who takes great delight in his commandments.
His descendants shall be powerful on earth.
The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Riches and wealth are in his house.
His justice stands firm forever.
A light rises in the darkness for the upright.
He is generous, merciful, and just. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then shall your barns be filled with abundance, and your presses shall run over with wine.
It goes well for the man who deals generously and lends,
who conducts his affairs with justice.
He will never be moved.
Forever shall the just be remembered.
He has no fear of evil news.
With a firm heart, he trusts in the Lord.
With a steadfast heart, he will not fear.
He will see the downfall of his foes.
Open-handed, he gives to the poor. His justice stands firm forever.
His might shall be exalted in glory. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then shall your barns be filled with abundance, and your presses shall run over with wine.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
world without end. Amen.
Credo qui
Let us pray. Graciously be present to your people, we pray, O Lord, and lead those you have imbued with heavenly mysteries to pass from former ways to newness of life, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We recently received the news, sadly, that Bishop Olmsted has reassigned Father Thomas to Resurrection Parish in Mesa. He'll be starting this new position immediately upon returning from vacation. Father Thomas has been a blessing to St. Thomas. He served our community faithfully for 3 years, and his devotion provided comfort to many of us. He was active in celebrating the sacraments, including Mass for our parish, senior citizens living at Morning Star Assisted Living Community, teaching our senior class program, and volunteering to serve the homeless, Our Ladies of Sodality. Our school children loved visits from Father Thomas, and he loved celebrating the weekly school masses with them. Last year, he even played a cornhole tournament with our parents. He has left for vacation and is sorry to not say goodbye personally, but he wants to thank our community for the assistance of everyone during his time at St. Thomas. Though we will miss him greatly, change always brings new blessings. We will soon be welcoming 2 new priests to our community, and in the meantime, Father Jovi will be with us through August. I would like to thank Father Thomas for answering the call to serve in new places whenever asked by God, and for all his service to St. Thomas. Please keep him in your prayers. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.
Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Exultate.